Heavenly Father, we are in your presence.
Yes.
We are thirsty and hungry. We want you to feed our souls.
Yes.
So we come in your presence as you are. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us with the blood of the Lamb. And dominate with your presence this place.
Yes.
So the devil has no influence at this moment. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
God, we give you praise because we know that we will receive from you.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray this.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Amen.
Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
Amen. There we go. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, that's good.
Amen.
I don't want to look like somebody who's preaching and who came from out of some nowhere. It's like, who is this person who's preaching here today? So I want to start by introducing myself and introducing my family in a few words. I am Dido Tantolo. Please, Emily, stand up.
Yes.
And Emily is my wife of about 30 years. We have three children. Don is the first one we set up. Yeah. Afi, Don is just married to Miriam in December, so he has a brand new wife.
Okay.
And Afi is in the back. Will you please? She is in mass communication major, so I asked her to bring the camera to film us. And I hope she will not keep doing that for us. And Grace, she's I am a minister since 1988. From the Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo. I was ordained there before coming to the U.S. in 94.
Amen.
My wife and I, we had some ministry in the capital city, Kinshasa, the Democratic Republic of Congo. Then I came in here to the U.S. in 94. I had some hard time after coming to the U.S. because of the immigration, you know, paperwork. It took me about 7 years to have the okay to bring my family here. So there is a 7 years separation, unwanted, unplanned separation, forced separation. But after that, when they arrived, we were in North Carolina living there. Because I have a brother there who came to the U.S. in 76. So he's the one who, you know, made it possible for me to come to the U.S. My father is died a few years ago. He was a minister. So I knew Jesus before even I could name a brand, maybe, or, you know, yeah. Because from the first day he started praying for me, and so we are, our background is from a very Christian family.
Crazy.
Yeah. Here in 94, I went back to school to do the clinical pastoral education. After that, at Duke University Medical Center, then I had to do 1 year of residency, which brought us to Huntington, West Virginia. And I did my residency year there. And that's where we first connected with the Rhema ministry, because we attended Dr. Hoffman. A great man of God. He helped me move my stuff from North Carolina. Very good man of God, yeah. And since then, we connected with Rhema churches. And after my residency, I found a job there because my son was in middle school and we wanted him to finish his school. You know,
high school, I'm sorry.
Okay.
At the same
school. So when he graduated, after he graduated, we came to Ohio in Dayton, and I was working. I was hired at the Doctor's Hospital West. We call it Dr. West.
Yes.
And since then, I think it was in 2010. I'm there till today. So moving to Columbus from Dayton, we've been looking for a church, and we wanted to be a part of the Rhema Church. So my wife, she called Tulsa, and they gave a list of churches, Rhema churches in Columbus area. So I've been making phone calls, and God led us here. So we came in here, and we love it here. Amen. The sermon, and this is, let's move to the sermon now. So just to give you an idea about who we are. I want you to remember one thing. If you can forget everything, that's okay. But remember one thing. And this is what? This is the most important thing.
Can you say that?
Most important thing.
I didn't hear it.
Most important thing.
The most important thing. So this is what I'm going to talk to you about. It is the most important thing. Forget about everything. But when you get in your car, somebody, or maybe at the restaurant, at work, asks you, what did the preacher preach yesterday about? The preacher preached about the most
important
thing. I need someone to help me read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. And I want someone to read this for us. Verse 13, 20.
13, 20?
Yes. Please.
When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Hey, Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." And you want to go to 23?
No, it's good. Thank you very much. Amen.
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 I want a better amen. Amen.
Amen.
Good. So now this is the story of Jesus with his disciples having a conversation. And Jesus asking them, "What are people saying about me?" You know, because he became so popular in all those the regions, and he wanted to hear what people were thinking about him. And in that conversation, when you read the first part of the conversation, it's like it was easy for them to tell Jesus what other people we're saying about him. I read here, and they say, "Some says that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or other prophets." Amen? So that was easy for them to talk about, you know, what people out there were thinking about him. Some says you are John the Baptist. And when you read the gospel, you will find out that Jesus spoke highly of John the Baptist. He even said that he's the greater prophet. But you know what? John the Baptist never performed any miracles all his life. His ministry was to proclaim, to bring people to baptism,
right,
and to prepare the way for the Lord to come.
Yes.
No miracle like Elijah did or Moses. He didn't perform any miracles. And when I read his answer, sometimes I wonder, who answered that? Who said that people thought that Jesus was John the Baptist? Because they were from the same generation. So how would you say, and I believe that John the Baptist was still alive. And how can you say that Jesus is John the Baptist? As long as John the Baptist is alive somewhere.
But this is what they thought.
Other people say, somebody else say,
people are there, they think that you are Elijah.
When you read the book of Romans, the chapter 11, where the author of the book of Romans talks about the people of faith, you will see that he recognizes Elijah as a great...
He recognizes Elijah as a great prophet.
Okay? Because he has that power to perform many miracles.
It's better?
He had the power to perform many miracles.
So
people will think that...
Okay. We are still winning. The devil will not have any power here.
Yeah.
We will proclaim the word of God. So now, Elijah was one of the greatest. He did a lot of miracles. And people were trying to assimilate him to Jesus. Oh, they think that you are Elijah. But he wasn't. So, if you read the Bible, Elijah died a long time ago. But there are people who, in that time, were thinking that the king who will come will be Elijah. So when Jesus started to perform all these miracles and all the preaching that he did, some people were like, oh, I think this is the time that was prophesied that Elijah will come back. Amen?
Amen.
And somebody else says that, oh, the people are there, they think that you are Jeremiah or some other prophet. So the conversation here, from what we read here, is like nobody have, there was no unique opinion, that there were so many different opinions about Jesus. But Jesus wasn't really interested in all this, because all those answers were wrong. So then he turned to them and said, okay, let's just shift this conversation. I'm tired to listen to this wrong stuff. You see me preaching, doing all this, and people think, so you tell me, now, what do you, my disciples? I am with you all every time. You know, 24/7, you walk with me, you sleep with me, and we go everywhere together. Who do you say that I am? And when you read the verse 14, Carol, you might read that again.
Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets.
I keep going to 14 and 16.
Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Amen.
Who answered?
Right.
Who answered?
That was Simon Peter.
But how many people were there?
12.
So only one person has the right answer to this. So I wonder, what were they thinking about Jesus? The rest of it. They didn't know that he was the Son of God. Amen.
Amen.
They were sitting there. I wish I could picture that, because when you are in class and the teacher is asking questions, sometimes if you don't have the answer, you tend to avoid eye contact. I wish I could picture Jesus. Maybe this is what's going on right there. Nobody has the answer. And Jesus is waiting. What? Do you think that I am? Because you see me in the morning. When I wake up at 5 o'clock, I go pray. You see me. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
And you see me feeding all these people, thousands of people.
Yeah.
You see me healing people.
Yes.
You see me casting the devil out of people.
Right.
You see me doing all kinds of things. And you hear me when I preach and people are getting, you know, accepting the word that comes from heaven. And you see all this. But 11 people were there. Except the one answer. Nobody did know that this was the Son of God. Isn't that astonishing? And worse, you will see that Judas, who betrayed Jesus, he ended up even killing himself. But he was with the Lord. He touched the Lord. He sees him all the time.
Yes.
But at the end of his life, he ended his life like someone who never even knew him. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yes.
So, what is this piece of the text telling me or telling us is that you can be a Christian, but you haven't connect with the Lord at the deepest point of your life yet.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Let me try to break this down for you. A few years ago, my son, when he was I'm not talking about you today. and I'm glad you're here. My son was still in college. And that morning I was off, so I was back then commuting from Columbus to come to work, you know, five days a week. And when I am off, I just want to be home. So I'm sitting there, home, my wife to work, and he was the last one to leave the house that morning to go to school. So he came to me and said, "Dad, I am going to school." I said, "Okay, be blessed. Go to school. Have a blessed day." And he left. So now, when he went out, got in his car, and I don't know what happened, the neighbor across the street got in his car at the same time. So when he's backing up, the boy there, he's backing up too. Then, boom! And a few minutes later, I came back to the house looking at him, it's like, you know, he had an accident. So, what's wrong? I said, "Oh, I had an accident, Dad. Hey, oh, you can see that he, you know, after your first accident, anybody had a first accident? Yeah, so you can see that, well, the boy, he's messed up now. Something's doing really wrong here." And so what happened? And he told me the story. I went, with him outside to see. Now, they did that big mistake because when you make an accident, you leave the car wait until the police comes for the report, right? Because it was in the middle of the street, so he just brought the car back to the driveway. The boy did the same thing. So now, when I came there, this boy, this was his first car. He was so mad, and I think there was, if I remember, insurance problem involved there. Yeah. So, first of all, the police, when we called the police came and said, "Well, I can't do anything because we have already moved the car from the scene, so there is no report that they say. You just talk, you know, in terms of changing information so that you call insurance, and the insurance will take care of it." So that made him very bad and angry. So when his mother came, because he came to call me, and the boy called his mom, so his mom came. She was so angry. And talking to, you know, being very rude, very, you know, and it makes sense. Because the car that she bought for her son messed up. I don't think they had insurance. I can't remember what it was. Because when you do have insurance, it's just a friendly conversation, you know, because the insurance will take care of us. Amen?
Amen.
So now, this man, the boy is saying all kind of mean words. Mom is talking. And my son was in shock. This is the first accident. And he didn't have any words. And I was the one who will speak for him. When the cops came in, I will explain, I will talk for him. When the mom is saying this, I will speak for him. Until everything was calm again, and we're back in the house. So I don't remember if he went back to school that day, maybe not. He was so discouraged, so in shock that I see him walk into his room and he never came back until late in the afternoon. So now, what happened here is, 2 days later, he came to me and he said, "Daddy, I want to thank you." And I'm thinking, "What do you thank me for?" And he said, "I said thank you because the day that I had an accident, a car accident, the way that you stood up for me was, I never knew that you would do that. I was in shock, not able to defend myself, to say anything, and you were there. You would talk to the police, you would talk to..." You know what that was? That was, I call it, an aha moment. Or a bingo in his mind. That I see this man, he's my father. But on that very day, he saw me from a different perspective. Not that as a father who brings bread on the table, the father maybe who would give money to buy clothes, or the father who's just there for other stuff. But on that day, he came to the realization that this is my father. And it's exactly the same situation that happened in this conversation. So when Peter answered, he said, "You are the Son of God." That was the aha moment. That was the bingo. So he connected with the Spirit of God that revealed him that.
Right.
And the problem today, and this is where I want you to follow in the most important thing in Christian life is to have that moment.
Amen.
So that you can really connect with God through revelation knowledge.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Aha moment is what we'll be looking for.
Amen.
We should be looking for. I mean, so many Christians live a defeated life. Can you say that?
Amen.
Can you repeat that?
Amen.
So many Christians.
So many Christians
live a defeated life.
Live a defeated life.
Do you agree with me?
Amen.
I can give you some examples. A defeated life is this kind of life that you know Jesus, you gave your life to him, he's your Lord and Savior. You made that public confession. You even baptized.
Yes.
You know, you participate in communion, you do all kinds of things for the Lord. But life, you do not experience the power. The power, which is the benefit, benefit of believing in God.
Amen.
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 I work at the hospital, like I said, and I'm talking with this lady here. She's a Christian, born. You know, she claimed herself to be a born again, you know, spirit filled. And I don't have no problem with that. It's okay. So I'm talking to her, and she's telling me her story. And one of the things that she told me was, "Well, I don't think that God is listening to me." Come on, God is not listening to you? Because of this is happening in my life, and I don't see. Oh. So the real thing that she was telling me is, I don't see power. Amen? Because in the name of Jesus, there is power.
Yes.
The name of Jesus is not just a name.
Amen.
the name of Jesus is power.
Yes. Yes.
It is the power of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Given to us and revealed to us.
Yes.
So that we can be living a powerful life.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So I asked her, what is all those signs that you can tell me that God is listening to me? Well, everything is going wrong. I mean, and I'm praying. There is no aha moment in the life of this person. There is no bingo, because when the Spirit touches you, it's bingo. Amen?
Yes.
You get there. You will change your way right away, because there is something powerful that you cannot explain that has just happened to you.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
I see sometimes when I'm on call from home, taking calls from home, the hospital will call me. Like one night they called me. Someone was very sick. Okay, had a heart attack, and they called the chaplain to come to. And it was in the middle of the night, maybe around 4 a.m. And I'm thinking, when I'm getting dressed to come to the hospital, well, that person, if you want, you're waiting for me to come pray, that person will die before I get there. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't you just stand up and start praying yourself for this person? Amen?
That's right.
And that is the same situation. There is no bingo moments in the experience of that person.
Amen.
So that they know that I have that power.
Amen.
I can dominate this place.
Amen.
I can destroy the plane of the devil.
Yeah.
My father will live. I can pray and see miracle happening.
Yes.
Instead of waiting for somebody who has to come from home, you know, and it was in a snow day, that means that your speed is even reduced, because you can speed up. You know, to get it on time. What happened? I ran there, the person was gone. Amen?
Amen.
There are so many things that happen to us, Christian, that we let happen to us and blame God. So many illness that we live in that will continue to destroy us, because we are powerless just because we have not experienced that aha moment with the Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
And this is not what God wants for us. The Bible says that Jesus has come for us to have what? Abundant. Abundant what?
Life.
Abundant life.
Yes.
And you can't, there is no way. Even you are sick, you can see your life moving to what the Bible calls abundant life if you don't have that personal aha moment with the Lord. So what was happening here, it is for me a demonstration of things that happened. And I'm a Christian like everybody. A minister, yes, but I'm a Christian like everybody. I know what that means to be in this situation. Amen?
Amen.
I know what that means to know Jesus as still to be weak. Helpless all the time. You come to church, you sing this song, in the name of Jesus, you know, mountain will be moved. But when you go home in your own reality of life, your mountain has not getting moved. They're still there. Your depression is still there. It's not going anywhere. Amen? Poverty is still there. It's not changing. My wife brought me a story one day. She said, I was talking with this lady at work. And she was sad. She said that in her family, they have a curse that nobody stays in marriage. So her mom raised them as a single mom. Amen? this young lady, she watched her three of her sisters, older sisters, get married, and she witnessed them coming back, losing their marriages. And when she was talking to my wife that day, she was in tears because she said that even my own marriage now is falling apart. So I know that I will be just like my mom because there is a curse. You know? If you have experienced that Jesus, you have had that aha moment in your life, you know that in the name of Jesus, I can break the curse that is in the family.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
I know that there is no power in the darkness that can dominate my life and take me down, because
Amen.
Jesus went to the hell and came back with the power of God to redeem.
Yes.
That's right. I am redeemed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Precious blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, the most important thing is that every Christian long for God, seek for God to have that moment, that aha moment, when you experience the presence of God speaking to your heart and the Spirit telling you, hey, your situation, I am the Lord who created everything. I have the power to reverse every power. I can destroy everything. Every words, every curses, I can change your life just now.
Praise.
And that is the most important thing.
Amen.
Carol, do you mind to read verse 7? 17, please.
Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you."
Amen. Just right there. You are blessed. This is Jesus. He observed and said that you are blessed. Mm-hmm. Anyone who experiences that moment is blessed.
Amen.
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 Amen. Anybody. I see people who say, "Pastor, I'm scared of the hospital here. Scared of dying." Well, you will be scared. You will die. You will die. You will be scared. You will continue to be scared because you're not giving yourself that moment to experience that aha moment with the Lord. Because at the last minute, I have seen people dying, telling me, "Chaplain, I want you to pray so that Jesus can tell me now. I'm sorry." And the doctor saying that, "No, we can do try this. No, I don't want anything. I just want to be with the Lord."
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm ready. Amen. And sadly for the doctor, because he thinks the things that they can still try something else.
Amen.
But it's like hallelujah to the person.
Amen.
Because, well, I'm going home.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That is the power of the aha moment.
Amen.
So today, the Lord just spoke to me, and as He's always speak to me, because this is something that I try to preserve in my own life, my own spiritual journey. I want to have the aha moment all the time,
oh, yeah.
So that I can stand strong.
Amen.
In front of whatever the pain of the devil is in my life against me, I can stand.
Yeah.
I can rebuke his words.
Yeah.
Rebuke his word and destroy everything
yes.
that he has
yes.
been against me and against my faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And this is the most important thing. So I want you, when you go home today, that you remember this. Every mountain shall move.
Yeah. Amen.
Every illness shall go.
Amen. Amen.